If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, John chapter 10 and verse 10, as we continue in our series, Freedom Now, John chapter 10 and verse 10. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word, and just thank you, Lord, that you placed us in the time we're in, and I pray you just show us how precious, Lord, our freedom is, and all the enemies, Lord, that the devil is sending our way to try to take it away, and how we need to be trusting in you, the shepherd, and standing up to it. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Every sheep knows that the biggest enemy to its life and freedom is the wolf. So if they don't stay away from the wolf and don't stay close to the shepherd, that happens. Now, every one of us Christians knows that the biggest enemy to our life and our freedom is the devil. So if we don't stay away from the devil and stay close to Jesus, the exact same thing is going to happen to us. But the problem is, the devil disguises himself. So he doesn't always come to us looking like a wolf. And if we don't recognize him when he does come to us, all of our life and all of our freedom is going to get chewed up too. The text we have in front of us this morning tells us how we stop that from happening. We started a series last week here at Fox River, a series called Freedom Now, looking at how we can hang on to all of our God-given rights and freedoms that are under attack today. Last week we looked at what freedom was really all about. And today we look at what the enemy of freedom is really all about. And to see that, we turn today to John chapter 10 and verse 10. In this part of John chapter 10, Jesus tells us that he's the good shepherd. And in our text today, Jesus tells us that the enemy is the devil. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, if we don't recognize the devil in the form that he takes when he does attack us, all of our rights and freedoms and all the rights and freedoms that we have in this country are going to get chewed up and spit out. Our text this morning, John chapter 10, verse 10, tells us the three biggest enemies that we have to all the rights and freedoms that God has given us in this country. And let's look and see what those three enemies are. The first thing we see from this text, the first enemy of freedom we need to watch out for is the devil. Who's the source of all the other attacks? And that's exactly what Jesus is telling us here in verse 10. And I'm talking about the real devil, not just rapper Little Nas X or Rosemary's Baby. The Bible tells us that the devil started out as an angel in heaven named Lucifer, God's worship leader. But then he got a big head and decided he was going to take over. So God kicked Lucifer and one third of all the other angels that rebelled out of heaven down to this earth, where they became the devil and his demons. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And I know somebody's hearing this saying, "But Kevin, I don't even believe in the devil." Devil doesn't care if you believe in him or not. Just all the more easier for him to take your freedom away. And Jesus tells us here exactly how he does it. Now, verse 11, Jesus says he is the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And when he calls the shepherd, the sheep will follow him. So real freedom comes from knowing Jesus as your Savior and being in that sheepfold and following the shepherd instead of following the world. Freedom from fear, freedom from worry, freedom from the power of the devil. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because the devil comes and says, "Come on, man. That shepherd's a loser. You don't follow him. And that sheepfold is so lame. For crying out loud, start taking it off and start throwing it down and get yourself free." Amen. See that guy tripping on Trank? You see there in the picture? He got away from the shepherd. Does he look free to you? The devil gets you away from the shepherd. He gets you away from the sheepfold, gets you addicted to sin, John chapter 8, verse 34, and then he cuts you to pieces. The enemy is very easy to recognize, folks. If it steals like the devil, if it kills like the devil, if it destroys like the devil, then it's the devil. Amen. And the devil is everywhere today. Last weekend was SatanCon in Boston, Massachusetts. The biggest gathering of Satanists in the history of the whole wide world. And they spit all over God and all over His authority by ripping up Bibles and tearing up police flags. Satanists swear up and down they do not believe in a personal being called the devil. And yet they ended their convention by doing this. Hail Satan. They're worshiping him. How do you worship somebody you don't believe exists? Of course they believe he exists. The devil's hotter than hell today, people. All kinds of after-school Satan clubs for kids popping up all over the United States. Los Angeles, California, Moline, Illinois, Lebanon, Ohio, Wilmington, Ohio, Eaton, Ohio, Chesapeake, Virginia, and, well, New York. I could go on and on. Because from the Hitler Youth to Drag Swing Story Hour for Kids, the devil is always, always, always all about the children. Amen. The devil's been trying to take away our freedom in this country from the very beginning. When you look at the original street plan for Washington, D.C., drawn up by an occult architect named Pierre Lafont at the end of the 1700s, you'll notice that the streets in Washington, D.C. form the shape of a pentagram, an occult symbol for the devil, with the three points at top standing for the devil's head and his two horns. And the inverted upside-down pentagram that the street plan of Washington, D.C. forms, that's an occult symbol for the four demonic spirits of earth, wind, fire, and water, with the devil's head at the bottom. And where on the street map of Washington, D.C. is the devil's head fallen there? Right smack dab on the White House. Don't tell me that the devil is not working in Washington, D.C., and especially in the White House right now. You don't think the devil's out to destroy our freedom in this country? Now that poser Dylan Mulvaney has taken all kinds of heat for pretending to be a woman, he said this, like the articles written about me using he pronouns and people calling me a man over and over again, that should be illegal. See what Dylan Mulvaney thinks about your freedom of speech? The very nanosecond that Donald Trump became president, January 2017, a Facebook group of over 13,000 witches from all across the United States started casting spells on him and his administration every single day for his entire four-year term. You don't think the devil's trying to destroy freedom? And of course, those witches aren't casting any spells on Joe Biden, because Joe Biden's already doing what the devil wants him to do. We see the devil at work in all the lies today, like Russian collusion. And Hunter Biden's laptop was just a Russian disinformation campaign. And COVID came from bat soup. And getting the COVID vaccine means you won't get COVID. And getting vaccinated for COVID means you can't spread COVID, even though the vaccine was never even developed to stop the spread. Amen. And getting the COVID vaccine will keep you from dying for COVID, even though the death rate for people who got the jab is twice as high as for people who didn't get it at all. 15 million excess deaths all over the world today because of the COVID vaccine. And we knew this whole Fauci, ouchie, COVID shot, clot shot fiasco was a lie from the beginning. What's the difference between a conspiracy theory and a fact? Right now, it's about 6 months. The border is closed. No one is illegal. The Chinese spy balloon wasn't really spying. Trans women are women. Men can get pregnant. The economy's strong as hell. It's good. It's good for drag queens to read storybooks to little kids. And Joe Biden says, you parents, your kids don't really belong to you. John chapter 8, verse 44. The devil is the father of lies, folks. Amen. And it's all about taking away your life and taking away your freedom. Amen. People never forget, the devil is real. Last April the 19th, Holiday, Florida, a 56-year-old Uber driver named Randall Cook made a food delivery to the home of an MS-13 gang member named Oscar Solis. And Oscar Solis killed Randall Cook in a satanic ritual, cut up his body, put his arms and legs in plastic bags, and his head in a styrofoam cooler. Pasco County Sheriff Chris Nyko said this, "This is absolutely a gruesome case. This was demonic. What this individual did was demonic." People never forget the devil is real. And the devil is using all kinds of people today to take away your life and to try to take away your freedom. Amen. The devil comes to steal and kill and destroy and take your freedom away. as part of the coordinated effort to make sure that Donald Trump never gets back in the White House again, last fall a grand jury started meeting in Atlanta, Georgia, to determine whether or not President Trump tried to overturn the results of the 2020 election by calling Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, asking him to find more votes, not to manufacture more votes like the left does, but simply to investigate charges of fraud before the final election results from the state of Georgia were officially certified. So all President Trump did was ask him to do his job. And for that, he gets barbecued, and now he's facing another possible indictment. Stinks to high heaven. Everybody knows what's going on here. And especially the devil. Because right after that grand jury wrapped up last February, the foreperson of that jury, a 30-year-old woman named Emily Coors, went on a media blitz talking to CNN and MSNBC and the New York Times, you name it. Here's part of one of the interviews that she did.
I kind of wanted to subpoena the former president because I got to swear everybody in. And so I thought it'd be really cool to get 60 seconds with President Trump of me looking at him and being like, do you solemnly swear?
Now, if that woman seems a little batty to you, it's because, what do you know, Emily Coors happens to be a full-blown practicing witch. And her Pinterest board tells you everything you'd ever want to know about Wicca and witchcraft and paganism and casting spells and communicating with the dead. I could go on and on. You talk about witchy woman. And the left says, well, the fact that the woman's a witch doesn't have anything to do with what the grand jury found about President. Oh, yes, it does. Because what's the number one thing? The number one thing that the devil does to us, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, he's the accuser of the brothers. He tramples all over your rights and freedoms and accuses you of doing all kinds of things that you didn't really do. What did the grand jury do to Donald Trump? They trampled all over his rights and freedoms and accused him of doing all kinds of things he didn't really do. So much for freedom. And not only Donald Trump's, but also ours. Because don't tell me the entire leftist establishment in this country is not a gigantic spiritual attack on all the rights and freedoms that God has given us in this country, and especially us as Christians. The devil is in the details, folks. And Emily Coors proves this whole grand jury investigation against President Trump is nothing but a witch hunt. But here's the good news. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So when the devil attacks and we stand up to him and we do spiritual warfare and resist the devil, he will flee from us. But listen to me. That's never going to happen. We are never going to have that victory. We are never going to hang on to our freedom if we first don't realize that the devil is real and that all the attacks are really coming from him to start with. The first enemy of all the God-given freedom we have in this country is the devil. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second enemy of our God-given freedom in this country. Not only the devil, but also socialism. And this is also something that the Holy Spirit is implying to us today in this verse. And the problem is, socialism comes disguised as something looking so good. Free food. Free rent. Free health care, free college, because Joe Biden's going to pay off all your student loans. What in the world is not to like? And that's why 75% of all millennials, 75% of Generation Z are gaga about socialism and want a socialist country like yesterday. And why? Because the people who are pushing for socialism right now never had to live under it throughout their entire lives. It's easy to catch mice when they don't understand why the cheese is free. My generation was taught better dead than red. My generation was taught the truth that socialism is evil. Lyle Hathorne's generation did not go to Europe and fight a socialist in World War II so their great-grandchildren could vote for one back here. Listen to me. AOC is lying to you. Socialism is the enemy. Socialism is the enemy because it divides society into two different groups. The haves, the so-called bad people, and the have-nots, the so-called good people. Then it demonizes the haves and says that they're selfish. Then it tells the have-nots that the haves are oppressing them so that the have-nots will rise up and rob and kill off the haves and supposedly create this communist, classless society where everything's fair and everything's equal and pink rainbow unicorns. John Lennon's song, Imagine. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No greed, no need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. Imagine indeed, because the only place where that kind of socialistic, communistic utopia has ever existed is in somebody's imagination. Socialism is very simple. Government takes all the money that you work for and gives it to somebody who didn't work for it at all. You make it, they take it. And because God created human beings to rebel against that kind of stuff, we've got a nature that doesn't want that. Government has to force socialism on people. And that's why socialism always comes along with things like totalitarian power, one-party rule, man-made famine, secret police, propaganda, censorship, ethnic cleansing, purges, show trials, re-education camps, gulags, firing squads, killing fields. I've had buku people ask me over and over again, Kevin, why do you think socialism is so wrong? Gee, maybe because mass murder is wrong? Notice, no God-given rights. Because the founder of socialism, Karl Marx, says there's no God at all. Religion is the opiate of the masses. So the only God is the government. The only God is the state. Vladimir Lenin, who forced socialism on Russia in the early 1900s, said this, "We fight against God to snatch believers away from Him." Socialism is totally anti-Christian because Christianity stands for everything that socialism has to eliminate in order to thrive. Like faith in God. And loyalty to God over loyalty to the state. And the eternal value of human life. And rights that come from God and not from government. Do we see why socialism is the enemy? Lenin and Stalin in Russia, Chairman Mao in China, destroyed thousands and thousands of churches and killed millions and millions of Christians. Adolf Hitler did his share too. Adolf Hitler said this, "Christianity is a religion for slaves, not for noblemen. We declare war on the religion of Christianity and we drive it from the face of the earth." And I know somebody's hearing this saying, "Well, Kevin, Adolf Hitler wasn't a socialist, he was a Nazi." What was the real name of the Nazi party? The National Socialist German Workers' Party. Socialism. Just like the devil, socialism comes to steal and kill and destroy. Because when people find out the government's going to take all the money that they work for, surprise, they stop working. So the national economies collapse. And those countries turn into socialist hellholes like they always have. That's why socialism has never worked in any country it's ever been tried in, any time throughout the history of the world. In Russia, Germany, China, Cuba, Vietnam, Cambodia, North Korea, Ethiopia, Afghanistan, and most recently Venezuela. Socialist Venezuelan dictator Hugo Chavez died back in 2013. And even though it's been 10 years since he died, he screwed up that country so bad with socialism, to this day, people are still dumpster diving in order to eat. And I know somebody's hearing this. You say, "Well, Kevin, that's a different kind of socialism. What AOC is pushing today is democratic socialism. And that's different." No, it isn't. You can call it liberalism, progressivism, Marxism, socialism, democratic socialism. It all leads to exactly the same thing. Vladimir Lenin said any kind of socialism always, always leads to communism. People, socialism is absolutely the most miserable, demonic, destructive, soul-sucking, anti-God, anti-freedom philosophy in the history of the whole wide world. Do we understand why socialism is the enemy? Because what's scary today, all kinds of people in America are saying, "Hey, let's make socialism great again. Can't we open our eyes and see what it's already done to this country?" In the 1960s, President Lyndon Johnson, in the Great Society, made the federal government the baby daddy for every poor single mom in this country. And what's the result? It has absolutely destroyed the family in America. Only 22% of families in this country today, less than 1 out of 4, are nuclear families with a mom and a dad and original kids that they had together. The illegitimate birth rate in the black community today is 80%. 8 out of 10 black kids growing up in America in a home without a dad. For white people, it's over 40% and growing every day. Do we see what socialism has done? Black Lives Matter is totally atheistic. Anti-God, anti-family, pro-LGBTQ all the way. And why? Because the founder of Black Lives Matter, Patrice Cullors, said, "We are trained Marxists." Marxist socialists divide society into two classes. Black Lives Matter decides society into two colors, white and black. And then claim that all white people are racist and all black people are their victims. According to Pew Research, 2 out of 3 black people in America today think that this country is systemically racist. Mission accomplished right out of the socialism playbook. Socialism's infiltrating this country through the Chinese Communist Party. 150 million Americans have TikTok on their phone, including 14 million young people in this country. Who owns and runs TikTok? That would be the Chinese Communist Party, who use it here in the United States to glorify porn and LGBTQ and sex outside of marriage. The Chinese Communist Party uses TikTok here in America to teach critical race theory and to teach American young people to hate their own country. Meanwhile, TikTok's twin in China teaches Chinese young people to love their country. See, TikTok is banned in China, but it's pushed here, right and left. And what's the result? The average young person in China today, when they grow up, they want to be an astronaut. The average young person in America today, when they grow up, they want to be a social media influencer. Do we see the difference? 2 out of 3 young people in Generation Z in this country say they couldn't care less about patriotism or what happens to the future of America. Gee, does anybody else think that the Chinese Communist Party is using TikTok as a covert military operation to bring about the downfall of the United States of America, or is it just me? Do we understand that socialism is the enemy? And because socialism goes against the way that God created people, socialism is forced on people at the point of a gun. Socialism killed 50 million people in Russia, 60 million by Nazi socialist Germany in World War II, 60 million in China, 5 million in Eastern Europe. Socialism killed 2.1 million people in Cambodia, 2 million people in North Korea, 1.7 million in Afghanistan, 1.5 million in Latin America, 1.1 million in Vietnam. And people say, hey, comrade, let's try it again. Let's give it one more chance. Are we crazy? Just like with the devil, you'll know it's socialism when the killing starts. Last July, pipeline workers outside of Odessa in Ukraine uncovered another mass grave filled with the bones of over 8,000 more Jews who had been killed by the Nazis in World War II. When the Germans started invading Eastern Europe and Russia in June of 1941, they started coming across hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Jewish people. And because the whole demonic concentration camp system hadn't been dreamt up yet, the Germans formed SS death squads called the Einsatzgruppen. So when the German military would capture a town or a village, it was the job of the Einsatzgruppen to come in behind them and take care of all the Jews that were found. September 1941. Outside of a town called Olesk in Ukraine, the SS made 900 Jewish men, women, and children get down on their hands and knees and eat grass like cattle. Then they forced the Jewish men and women to march to a ravine about 2 miles away while they took the little kids and locked them in a big barn. They forced the Jewish men and women to take off their clothes at gunpoint and then stand in front of a big ditch in lines of 20, a ditch that local Ukrainians had been forced to dig earlier. And then the Einsatzgruppen would fire their guns. And the whole group of Jewish men and women would fall into the pit right on top of the bodies of the Jewish men and women who'd been shot just before them, right in front of their eyes. And people, can you imagine? Can you imagine what kind of hell it was to be standing there on the edge of that ditch, seeing the dead bodies in front of you, knowing that that was going to happen to you? Nowhere to hide, nowhere to run, because if you ran, they'd still shoot you. Waiting for your turn to die and being killed by people who were killing you because they didn't even think you were human or deserved to live. Right before the last group got in front of that ditch, the SS walked over and pulled a Jewish man named Yaakov Hirschenhorn out of the line because he was a doctor who had patched some of them up. And they told him, go home. But when Yaakov Hirschenhorn asked if he could take his wife and his son with him, the Nazis said no. So the doctor got back in line and got shot and fell in the pit along with everybody else. and then the children. The Einsatz group and went to that barn, took all those kids and started chucking them in horse-drawn wagons. Throwing them like you'd throw a field stone. Grabbing them by the hair, grabbing them by the head, anything they could do. Filling up those wagons. When those horse-drawn wagons were full, the Einsatz group and drove them to that pit and just started throwing those little kids, the little babies, the little children down in that pit alive. And while those little children were freaking out and absolutely terrified because they were surrounded by dead bodies, the Einsatz group and threw down two hand grenades and literally blew those little kids' bodies to pieces. And then the local Ukrainians were forced to cover up the huge grave with dirt. And eyewitnesses said the whole earth mound was quivering like that because of so many people underneath who hadn't died yet and who'd been buried alive. And that's just what happened to 900 Jews outside of Olesk. Because under Karl Jager, that one Einsatzgruppen unit murdered over 140,000 Jews in 171 different places just in 1941. Later than September 1941, that same SS group took tens of thousands of Jews outside of Kiev to a deep ravine called Baba Yar, forced them to undress, get down in the pit, and the SS shot them all, 50 at a time, all day, all night, for an entire week, till 33,177 Jews were dead, the biggest mass shooting of human beings in recorded history. Everywhere the German army went in Eastern Europe, and especially in Ukraine, the murder of the Jews followed. So by the time the concentration camps started functioning, the Einsatzgruppen had murdered over 1.5 million Jews before the extermination camps even started, by shooting them at close range in ravines and then covering up their bodies. So many killed that one out of four Jews killed in the Holocaust were killed in Ukraine by a bullet to the back of the head. It's called the Holocaust by Bullets. And to this day, over one half of the 1.5 million victims have never been identified. And I know there's somebody here in this sermon right now saying, Kevin, what killed all those people was anti-Semitism. No, it was socialism, because socialism laid the groundwork. Socialism says society is two groups of people. And this group is making the other group's life miserable, so they take out one group in order to make the other group's life better. That came straight from Karl Marx and the devil himself long before Adolf Hitler was even born. So when Adolf Hitler said that the Aryans were the Übermenschen, the superior people, and said that the Jews were the Untermenschen, the inferior people, that's class warfare, class envy, classical socialism. And I'm not talking about this today for shock value. I'm talking about this today for our young people. Because young people, your generation is the one that thinks socialism is cool. Listen to me. Look at those pictures. As hard as they may be to look at. Young people, look at those pictures. Because if your school is not telling you the truth about socialism, you see it right there. Socialism really did that. Murdered over 1.5 million people. They weren't just killed, they were murdered with a bullet to the back of the head. And then after they murdered 1.5 million people, they murdered another 4.5 million people in the gas chambers in the concentration camps. And people are still finding the bodies of people who were murdered by socialists 75 years ago. So the heck with what TikTok says. The heck with what Ed Sheeran says. The heck with what AOC says. You'll know it's socialism when the murder starts. George Santayana said, those who forget the past are condemned to repeat it. People listening, the biggest enemy of God and the Bible and Christianity, the biggest enemy of truth, justice, and the American way, the biggest enemy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the biggest enemy of your freedom and the freedom of all your kids and grandkids and however many generations come down the line until Jesus comes back, besides the devil, is socialism. And because Psalm chapter 97 verse 10 says, those who love the Lord hate evil. Young people, listen to me. You hate socialism just as much as you hate the devil himself. The second enemy, the God-given freedom that we have in this country, is socialism. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third enemy of freedom that we need to watch out for. Not only the devil, not only socialism, but leftism. The biggest cult in America today. And that's also what the Holy Spirit is implying here through this verse. And with leftists, it's very simple. Whatever is good for America, they think is bad. Whatever is bad for America, they think is good. Woke supremacists, social justice warriors, who think all of us Christians are extremists, and put those horrible hate has no home signs in their front yard because they're the most hateful people on the face of the earth. And folks, leftism is in control of everything in this country now. Government, media, social media, academia, education, entertainment, Hollywood, professional sports, even the churches. There's even woke churches in America today. And I guarantee you, leftists are everywhere. You could go to the smallest school board meeting in the smallest little podunk school in Nowhere, Illinois. I guarantee you there will be some progressives and some leftists there crying about white privilege and an Indian head mascot. And I know somebody's hearing this saying, well, Kevin, I consider myself a leftist and I also consider myself a Christian. You can't be both. Because Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 2 says, the heart of the wise man leans to the right, the heart of the fool goes to the left. It says so in the Bible. Just like socialists, the leftists divide society into two groups. The enlightened ruling class, which are them, and the rest of us, the peons and the serfs. Last week we found out that April of last year, when thousands and thousands and thousands of airline flights in this country were canceled and grounded, Secretary of Transportation Mayor Pete and his fake husband took a private military jet for a vacation in London, England. See, we couldn't fly, but he could. On your dime. Because see, Mayor Pete, he is way too important to fly commercial, like Brush Apes, you and me. Last March the 31st, when President Trump was indicted, the left said over and over again, nobody's above the law. Nobody's above the law. Are you kidding me? There's all kinds of people in this country who are above the law. Hillary Clinton, James Comey, John Brennan, Barack Obama, Joe Biden for pulling off the Russiagate scandal. Attorney General Merrick Garland, Dr. Fauci, Adam Schiff, who perjured themselves and lied before Congress. When are those people ever going to get prosecuted for the crimes they committed? Like never? See, the rules are for thee, but not for me. Because see, the ruling class, they're better than you are. And they're smarter than you are. And they just can't stand the fact that you are free. Because you're too stupid to live your own lives. So you need to listen to them. And the only thing we need to say is, back off and leave us alone. That guy sitting back there, he knows how to farm. He feeds the entire world without worrying about sustainable green energy sources or cow flatulence that's supposedly warming up the planet. Leave him alone. That person sitting right over there, she's a teacher. She's been doing it for years. She knows how to teach kids without turning them into genderqueer unicorns. Leave her alone. These parents sitting right here, they know how to raise their kid. And their kid does belong to them, Joe Biden. So cut out all the LGBT propaganda in the schools because nobody in the whole wide world is better qualified to teach their kid about gender and sex than they are. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, they live as free people and they will allow themselves to be governed, but they will not be ruled. Leave them alone. That man standing back there, Steve Bailey, veteran of the United States Marine Corps, wounded in Vietnam for fighting a war that nobody else wanted to fight, but he did. So leftists, listen to me. He's not a terrorist. He's not a threat to our democracy. Woke stupidity has no home here. He's an American patriot. For the love of God, leave him alone. Just leave us alone. But see, they can't do it. They won't do it. Right now, the left is trying to claim that we need our rights taken away because we're oppressing people. The left is now saying that we're trying to ban books because we want books like genderqueer, gay porn books taken out of school libraries. No, we just don't think it's a good idea for five-year-olds to be shown training manuals for gay oral sex. If you show that claptrap to somebody outside of a school building on the street, you get arrested for contributing to the delinquency of a minor. But somehow showing it to them inside a school building, that makes it okay? I don't think so. My God, people, what is this sick fascination that the left has with talking about sex with little kids? Oh, yeah. That's what it is. Last April the 17th, United Nations Human Rights Commission, along with the International Commission of Jurists in Geneva, Switzerland, came out with this statement. Sexual conduct involving persons below the domestically prescribed minimum age of consent to have sex may be consensual. They're trying to legalize pedophilia. 2 weeks ago, a tranny representative, Minnesota House of Representatives, named Lee Fink, introduced a bill that would change the language of the state's Human Rights Act that would take out the phrase that said pedophiles are not a protected class under the Sexual Orientation Clause. And the left says, well, that didn't legalize pedophilia in Minnesota. No, but it sure cleared the way for somebody to introduce a bill that could legalize pedophilia in Minnesota. See what's happening? See what's coming? See what's being done? See the groundwork that's being laid? Pedophiles are already being referred to as minor attracted persons. Flyers like you see right here are now showing up on the doorknobs of millions and millions of people's houses in America. See what it says? Pedophiles are people too. People, this really is a thing. And I know somebody's saying, well, Kevin, there's no way in the world they're trying to legalize pedophilia in America. Are you kidding me? They are already flying their own pride flag for it. You see it right there, the YAP flag, YAP, Youth Attracted Persons flag. See what it was all for? All the tolerance? All the tolerance of the LGBTQ? All the tolerance of the trans rights? All the tolerance for the drag queens, the normalizing, the desensitizing for the ultimate goal, sex with little kids? And hey, why not? Because love is love, right? My God, people, the evil in this country. The left is calling us racist and bigots because we actually want to have a southern border between U.S. and Mexico. And have you noticed who it is that's streaming across the southern border right now?
They face every day.
We're dealing with the uptick in Chinese nationals, especially in the Rio Grande Valley sector, which is unusual. Before, we would never see this many Chinese nationals coming across this area here.
The numbers back up Lieutenant Olivares. In the first 5 months of the 2023 fiscal year, there have been 4,366 encounters with Chinese nationals at the southwest border, with 1,368 in the month of February alone.
Funny thing, those people look Chinese. Because they're Chinese nationals. Funny thing, it's only Chinese men. I don't see any women. I don't see any children. It's only Chinese men. And these Chinese men have smartphones and they're very rich. Because as they're making their way up through Central America, through Mexico, they're staying in luxury hotels while all the other immigrants are sleeping under a tree. And when they get to the United States, the Biden administration just processes them and then turns them loose into our country to go wherever they want to go and to do whatever they want to do. Funny thing, when the U.S. is now this close to fighting a war with China over Taiwan, all of a sudden huge numbers of Chinese men of military age streaming across the southern border, thousands more every single day. But see, if you think that maybe Communist China is prepositioning soldiers in our country for when the war breaks. No, that couldn't be true because that's racist and xenophobic. Wake up, little Susie. Wake up. We've both been fast asleep. Wake up, little Susie, and weep. The movie's over. Our goose is cooked. And we're in trouble deep. And I know somebody's hearing this sermon right now. You say, okay, Kevin, what are we supposed to do about it? What are we supposed to do about this whole mess? I'll tell you what you do. You stand up against the radical left in the situation that you are in right now. Right where you're at. Last month, 12-year-old seventh grader named Liam Morrison, Nicholas Middle School, Middlebury, Massachusetts, wore a t-shirt to school that said, there are only two genders. And school officials kicked him out of that school. Because they said it was making people there feel unsafe. So last April the 27th, Liam Morrison went to a school board meeting, stood up and spoke. This is part of what he said.
Special words. There are only two genders. Nothing harmful, nothing threatening. Just a statement I believe to be a fact. I have been told that my shirt was targeting a protected class. Who is this protected class? Are their feelings more important than my rights? I don't complain when I see pride flags and diversity posters hung throughout the school. Do you know why? Because others have a right to their beliefs just as I do. Not one person, staff, or student told me that they were bothered by what I was wearing. Actually, just the opposite. Several kids told me that they supported my actions and that they wanted one too. I was told that the shirt was a disruption to learning. No one got up and stormed out of class. No one burst into tears. I'm sure I would have noticed if they had. I experience disruptions to my learning every day. Kids acting out in class are a disruption, yet nothing is done. Why do the rules apply to one, yet not another? I feel like these adults were telling me that it wasn't okay for me to have an opposing view. Their arguments were weak, in my opinion. I didn't go to school that day to hurt feelings or cause trouble. I have learned a lot from this experience. I learned that a lot of other students share my view. I learned that adults don't always do the right thing or make the right decisions. I know that I have a right to wear a shirt with those five words. Even at 12 years old, I have my own political opinions, and I have a right to express those opinions. Even at school, this right is called the First Amendment to the Constitution.
Touché! So people, listen to me. You don't surrender your rights to the radical left. You stand up against them. And the good news is millions and millions and millions of people all across this country are finally starting to do that. For the last 10 years, all kinds of corporations in America, from Target to Capital One to Google, have been going woke-a-palooza with DEI departments, employees confessing their white privilege, and bragging, hey, we just hired the first albino African-American transgender zombie to be the head of accounting. Look at us. See how cool we are? And in the process, these corporations forgot they're in the business to sell real products to real people. People who are ticked off by all the woke stupidity because it goes against every single thing they know is right. 3 years ago, Disney was exposed for putting kiddie grooming LGBTQ propaganda in their movies and in their shows on the Disney Channel. But instead of changing it, Disney doubled down and put even more of it in their last two movies, Lightyear and Strange World. Movies about gay relationships, movies for little kids. And then they slammed Florida Governor Ron DeSantis for outlawing hypersexualized brainwashing of first through third graders in Florida schools. So what happened? Over 500,000 Disney fans canceled Disney vacations, canceled Disney memberships and subscriptions to the Disney Channel. No wokey mouse for them. And just 2 weeks ago, Disney announced they were scrapping their partnership with Metaverse and laying off 7,000 more employees. So many employees laid off at Disney World, Snow White is down to just three dwarves now. No mouse in my house. 4 years ago, Bed Bath & Beyond made a decision they were going to make 50% of their upper management, 25% of their lower management woke instead of smart. So 2 years ago, after Mike Lindell, the founder of MyPillow, because he stood up for President Trump after the 2020 election was stolen, the brass at Bed Bath & Beyond canceled MyPillow, even though it was one of the best things their stores ever sold. And what happened? So many Americans boycotted Bed Bath & Beyond. 2 weeks ago, they made an announcement they were closing all 414 of their stores in the United States and filing for bankruptcy. So when Mike Lindell and MyPillow now are doing better than ever before, Bed Bath and Beyond their means are going belly up. Last October, to show how woke they were, Maybelline hired Dylan Mulvaney as a makeup model. Because evidently the best way to sell products to women is by insulting them. There's the ad.
It's me.
Now, do you know any real woman that acts like that when she puts on makeup? No. And Dylan Mulvaney doesn't either, because Dylan Mulvaney is not a real woman. And because of that ad, Maybelline sales are down 25%. Last March, Nike hired Dylan Mulvaney to model their women's exercise clothes. So many women had a cow, but sales from Nike are down over 21%, and women are burning their Nike sports bras all over America in protest. Last March, the brain trusted Anheuser-Busch decided to turn the king of beers into the queen of beers by hiring Dylan Mulvaney as a transgender face of Bud Light. They took a real black woman off a bottle of syrup and put a fake white woman on a can of beer. That doesn't make any sense. And you talk about backlash. Kid Rock made a video of him shooting cans of Bud Light. Every country star from Travis Tritt to Big and Rich concert canceled the Budweiser sponsorship of their concert tours. And another man started a brand new beer company called Ultra Right Beer. He sold 1 million cases in the first week. And so many Americans boycotted Bud Light and Budweiser. They've lost over $6 billion in stock value. Sales are down 26% in just over a month. So by the end of this year, Budweiser will no longer be the number one beer in this country. And to do damage control, Budweiser ran out and put together a brand new commercial. Here you see part of it.
Rooted in the heart of America. Found in a community where a handshake is a sure contract. Brewed for those who found opportunity in challenge and hope in tomorrow. Raised by generations. Willing to sip, share, risk.
Apple pie, America, red, white, and blue, Yankee Doodle Dandy makes me want to go out and drink a can of... No, it doesn't. Christians, listen to me. In this woke day and age that we're living in these last days, the devil tries to make you think you're all alone and that you are wrong and stupid for not being woke. And not being a right-wing radical, Bible-thumping, homophobe, and domestic terrorist, and a threat to our democracy like the left tells you. But listen to me. Those boycotts prove that you are not alone. That you are not stupid and you are not wrong, because there are still millions and millions of people in this country who believe the truth, and he'll still believe and think exactly like you do. So Christians, for crying out loud, grow a spine, stand up, get some gravel in your gut and some spit in your eye and say, enough is enough. Woke is broke. We're not taking this anymore. We're not buying what you're selling. You can't cancel us because you can't cancel God, but we can cancel you. And what's going to happen when you do that? See the sheep up there with the two lambs? And oh my goodness, there's a wolf there. That wolf is going to attack those sheep. The wolf is charging across the road. That wolf is going to tear those sheep to pieces. What in the world are those sheep going to do? They're going to do what they see there in the video.
A sheep mom and her two little lambs happened to cross paths with a hungry wolf here, and the foolish wolf thought that it was going to score an easy meal. The wolf charged the sheep to try and steal one of the newborn lambs, but it was shocked when the brave mom charged at it too, and it quickly got out of its way.
Can you believe it? Those sheep put the run on that wolf. And Christians, listen to me. Us sheep can do exactly the same thing to our enemy when he attacks too. Because you're not just sheep, you're his sheep. You're not just sheeple, you're people, his people. Psalm chapter 100, verse 3. You are the people of his hand and the sheep of his pasture, and your Lord is the shepherd. And your Lord, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8, goes before you, and he goes behind you, and he goes all around you. So even if you can't see him, the enemy can. Amen. So when the devil attacks you, and you stand up, and you fight against him, and do spiritual warfare, and resist the devil, he will flee from you. Because the power and the presence of the shepherd goes with us wherever we go. The shepherd is with us. The question is this morning, are you with the shepherd? Are you with the shepherd right now? Because truth be known, every one of us being honest, we've all strayed, haven't we? All we like sheep have gone astray. We strayed from the shepherd. We strayed from the sheepfold. And today, right now, the good shepherd is calling you back. Do you hear him? Do you hear him calling you right now? Yes, you do. Because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And when I call, they will hear me and they will follow me. Today, he is calling every single one of us back to the shepherd. He's calling every single one of us back to the sheepfold, where there is life and peace and joy and freedom in Jesus Christ. Today, right here and now, ask him to lead you again so that you can follow him.